It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 3. We're going to begin reading with the 14th verse concerning the church of Laodicea. Hope that you are able to read those verses of Scripture with us today. If not, why, please listen carefully. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you would like to call us, our phone number is 217-847-2717. If you would like to email us, our email address is parkviewbible, that's parkviewbible@gmail.com. If you would like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Now, I hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. Revelation chapter 3, beginning to read with verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true, a true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. What a beautiful verses of Scripture to read. Let's begin with prayer. Father, I thank and praise you today that we have the opportunity to come together to study your precious word. We love your word. We have stayed, Father, always with the King James. We want to stay with the old hymns. We love, Father, enjoying, praising, and worshiping you, not to lift up ourselves, not to just be comfortable ourselves with reading a book that has been changed and altered, Father. We thank you for your truth, and we proclaim the truth. So please, dear Lord, guide and lead us through your precious word, that we may be born again, that we can be saved through the cross of Calvary and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus, and then begin to walk and serve you and praise you. Please, dear Lord, guide and lead us today. We love your precious book, and we love this study, and we have enjoyed now for a few times the study concerning the church of Laodicea. We're going to continue through that study. Please guide and lead us now and touch every heart. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have studied down through to the 17th verse, but there is just so much here, and it is today the church. We are in the church age of the Laodicean church. It is a sad, sad way that the church is today. We are a compromising. We are one that wants to be politically correct. And all those things are contrary to the Word of God. We need to make a stand. We need to stand for the truth. And we just need to search the will of God and see that it's not just for our comfort and our ways, but it is something that pleases our God. So much of the time what we do is something that we want to feel good. Well, we should praise God, worship God. We need to know His Word. We need to be in service and working for Him. We need to learn His Word and walk by it. And that doesn't mean to compromise and change so it fits our life, so we then will serve or then we'll walk with Him only because we have changed it. Stay true to the Word, please. Now, this church here is a literal church, as we've talked about. The seven churches were on the seventh. The seven churches were seven literal churches at the time. And it also is seven church ages. And again, as I've just said and said many times, we are in the church age of the Laodicean church. The church that is lukewarm. The church that is neither cold nor hot. The church that God says, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. So you want to know if God's happy with what we're doing? I think there's evidence right there that He's not. We need to repent, turn back to His Word, and stay true to it. Stop compromising. Stop being politically correct. When today, we come into the house of God with our normal, average, old clothes on. Nobody feels like it's necessary to come into the Lord's house with His best on. That just doesn't exist today. It just so sad, the condition the church is in. We find here in verse 16, says, so then, because thou art lukewarm, compromising, a compromising church. And my, again, isn't that today? Neither cold nor hot I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich. That's the beginning of verse 17, and that's really where we're going to begin today with this 17th verse. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. Have need of nothing. This church, these people, and that's today. Today the church is much more concerned about wealth and money and power and feeling good and getting as many people in through the church door as we can. It doesn't matter that we have left the Word of God to do that. And that's the sad thing. We have left the Word of God to accomplish that, to get our church full, our building full. It's not a church because most people today aren't born-again believers, and so only the born-again believers constitute the church. And so people come today, and they feel so good because the offering is great, the money is flowing through, we can build the big buildings and all those things, but we only accomplish that and gain that by compromise. We won't compromise here. We refuse to compromise. Yes, these beautiful buildings, gorgeous bell towers, beautiful sanctuaries, banquet halls, gymnasiums that they build on there. The membership is a very social membership, very intellectual. And so you believe that it's all that the Lord wants. But the Church of Laodicea is headed for ruin because it's put all these things ahead of the Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So often, wealth and power is nothing but a curse. It is not a blessing. They make the statement here that we have need of nothing. These folks have absolutely no room, no place for the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. They did not need anything Jesus had. They were completely satisfied with what they have. And when you get to the place that you're satisfied with you and you are not seeking the will of God, recognizing that you're a sinner and you're wretched and you need Jesus as your Savior to take your sin away. But you see, what money affects people, the social, the intellectual, all those things, instead of us coming as a child by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and having our sins forgiven and then enjoying wisdom and power and knowledge beyond anything this world can offer, because God gives it to us. When we have that, then it is wonderful. So please look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't say, as this Laodicean church is, you know, I have need of nothing. I love my church. It is so comfortable, and we have all these activities, and, you know, we bring in these Christian rock bands, and, oh, we just have such a good time with them, and the fellowship is so wonderful, and you know, it just everybody comes, and they just feel so comfortable. We should not feel comfortable when we come into the house of God and we're lost. We should never feel comfortable, never. This 16th verse, it says, "So then, because they are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew them out of my mouth." Judgment's coming. God is good, they say. Yes, He is. He is wonderful. But His love is so great and He is so good, He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus. You need to trust in Him by faith. That's where you're going to find His grace, His goodness. They say God is good. They say hell doesn't exist, or if it does, a loving Father would not send anyone there. They ignore the facts that Jesus or God is a consuming fire, that God's angry with the wicked. God judges in total righteousness. He will judge you. You need Jesus as your Savior. So you can be covered in the blood of Christ, sins forgiven. You need that. I don't care how rich you are, how good you are, how much you think you don't need anything. You've got to have Jesus. It says, "Knowest not," in that 17th verse, "knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." These people had no thought or understanding of their spiritual condition, none whatsoever. They are opposed to the truth. They do not desire to have nor know the Word of God. They have no need of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. They have no need for Christ at all. They're so indifferent. That their conscience seems to be seared with a hot iron. Their past feeling, their own sinful hearts. That's the condition of the church today. They think they're just fine. You think you're just fine. I love where I go to church, and I love that music, and I love all those things. And it just, you know, if you listen, and if you go along with all the rock music and the garbage that's involved with that, you'll realize that, yes, the words may be a little bit different, but the beat and what it does to your soul is no different than you can get in any tavern or bar or nightclub. That's what you've turned the church into. But you think you're just fine. But the Word of God says, you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. That's a little bit different than what you think you are. You think you're rich and have need of nothing. Increase with goods and have need of nothing, the Scripture says. That's the condition that you think you're in. Well, my dear friend, it's a sad day, because that's not true. Let's go to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to read some verses of Scripture there. I hope that you will see these. I want you to know Jesus as your Savior. He has done everything He can do. Now it's your turn. You need to trust in Jesus and come to Him. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour knowest no man, no angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, another left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. Eating, we're kind of a gluttonous bunch, aren't we? Drinking, drugs, booze, just seems to be everywhere. Marrying and giving in marriage, as we look at those things, we know that they're going to marry and then divorce, and marry and then divorce, marry and then divorce. And their God in every case, whether it's the eating, the drinking, or the marrying and giving in marriage, it all boils down to money. Now you can read that in verse 38 of Matthew chapter 24. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. You know, you don't know when you're going to die. There's a day appointed to be born and a day to die. None of us know when that is going to be. So we need to be prepared. We need to be ready. We need to know the Lord Jesus as our Savior. But beyond our life, birth, and death, there is also a deadline that's been set. God the Father knows it, when the church will be raptured. And so when the church is raptured, it means that the Lord Jesus is going to come and meet his church. Any born-again believer that's come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ that's saved, those that are in the grave, the graves will open, those that died in Christ. Those that are alive will meet him in the air, receive our glorified bodies, and forever be with the Lord. What a wonderful promise the Word of God tells us. It does some dividing here, because during that time, as things continue to worsen, and you've got to admit, around the world today, it has never been more destructive, more miserable, more turmoil than we have today. In this country and all over the world, the days are close. In the days of Noah, they just kept on doing what they wanted to do. And so is the church. The church has not come and preached the truth and tell folks to stand on it, come by faith to Jesus. We have become a social group, a country club style setting. Come and just enjoy yourself, and oh, as long as you feel good, that's all that's necessary. Let's not look at the convicting power of the Lord Jesus that will come, should come, as the Holy Spirit convicts your heart and shows you you're a sinner and need Jesus as your Savior. The time will come when he comes to take his church away. And it does some dividing here. There'll be two in the field, one's taken, one isn't. Two women grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, one will be left. Are you going to go, or are you going to stay? If you stay, the tribulation starts at that time. Be 7 years of tribulation. What a terrible, horrible time that's going to be on earth. You think that it's miserable today. You wait till then. Some people say, well, this is hell right now. No, you haven't seen hell. And you say, well, we're in the tribulation period right now. No, you haven't seen the tribulation. The first 3.5 years will seem like peace, but that last 3.5 years, you're going to see more destruction and the old devil himself coming out. And we hear the calls today that Christ is coming. And the truth is known to the world as they look that way. Jesus has already come to the earth to save. He's coming again. But he's not coming to save next time. He's coming to judge. And those today that think he's here or he's coming soon, that's the Antichrist. Oh, does it not fulfill the book of Revelation as we look at that? They continued in their ways and their lifestyle until the flood came and took them away. So shall also be the coming of the Son of Man. Are you ready for the Lord Jesus? Why were they taken away in Noah's day? Why are you going to be left here to go to the end of the tribulation period? Or if you die before that time, then your only place to spend eternity is in the lake of fire if you don't know the Lord Jesus. Why is that? It's because they knew not. Genesis chapter 4. Let's go clear back to the book of Genesis. We're going to enjoy the study today, and I hope you know your Bible. Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, verse 16. Genesis 4, 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, in the east of Eden. Cain knew his wife, she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad was born Mahujah, and Mahujah begot Methuselah, and Methuselah begot Lamech. Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of one was Ada, and the other was Zillah. Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such that dwelt in tents, and such as have cattle. His brother was named Jubal. He was the father of all such as handled the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, the instructor of every artifer and brass and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naam. Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there is born a son, and he was called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. You see, in Noah's day, people were not stupid, they were not ignorant, but were learned men. They built cities. This was Cain's side of the family. But when the flood came, all were destroyed except Noah and his family, who were safe in the ark. Why were they destroyed before the flood? Because they knew not. And as we read back here in Genesis chapter 4, and we looked at these verses of Scripture of the descendants of Cain, they were very evil and very wicked. They had nothing to do with serving and praising God. There was Cain and Abel. Cain killed Abel. And then God gave to Adam and Eve another son, Seth. And that's the line that praised and honored God. Why were all these destroyed? They were destroyed because they knew not the Lord Jesus. You see, Jesus is our ark. When judgment strikes on this earth, we will be safe with Him in the sky, raptured before it comes. Noah was safe in the ark. Jesus was in the ark with him. At the Laodiceans, with the Laodiceans, they will be spewed out, the scripture says. Not one will be kept. We are surely living today in the very hour of the Laodiceans. Their condition before the Lord God was totally unknown to the people. The scripture says they did not know. God says in His Word, chapter 3, verse 15, I know thy works. And in verse 17 again, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, and poor, blind, and naked. Don't you know that? Don't you know that? Please, are you of the group that knowest not? Or are you of the group that knows Jesus, loves Jesus, born-again believers? Verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. See, the Lord Jesus wants us. The condition of the Laodicean assembly can be summed up in three words: poverty, nakedness, and blindness. That's the condition of the church of Laodicea. That's the condition of the church today. The miserable condition of the church today. And people in groves flock to these magnum churches, these big, monstrous churches. And they sit there and they listen. And the Word of God is a small part of that. They just go so they can hear the music and feel good and go on about their business. God does not even call, the Lord does not even command or call for the Laodicean people, the church, to repent. But He does give them some very good advice. Buy of me gold tried in the fire. You buy everything else, you come to me. You come to be. Buy of me gold tried in the silver, tried in the fire. We find Him standing at the door knocking in the 20th verse. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and he will sup. I will sup with him and he with me. Do you recognize what that's saying? To the Laodicean churches today, the Lord Jesus is on the outside, not on the inside. And He is knocking on the door, wanting just one person in that church to awaken. Because He knows the church will not. But maybe just one. Maybe just one will open the door and let Him in. But no one does. That's the condition of the Laodicean church. Buy of me gold tried in the fire. The riches of Christ, they are inexhaustible. We're going to begin with these verses next time we get together. We'll do a little bit of review as we always do. But I want you to search your heart today and know that I know Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, please call upon Him today. Trust in Him today. You need the Lord Jesus, my friend. It's the only way. And this precious word tells us that. Don't change it. Don't compromise. Don't be as these of the Laodiceans. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?